God bless you tonight. I do want us to look over a few verses here in Genesis chapter 39, beginning in verse 13. Remember, Joseph has gone from the pit where his brothers have sold him into slavery. Reuben, one of the brothers, stepped forward and didn't want him to die, Judah. And so he's put in a pit. Then some Ishmaelites come by. They sell him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. And as we look at this particular passage, he's been the head over Potiphar's house. God has been with him every step of the way. And I can remember Joanne Ball making a statement. She was playing the organ at that time. And when we moved from that facility into this brand new facility on that Palm Sunday, and this sanctuary was filled to capacity on that day, that very first Sunday, we didn't even advertise that we were in here on that Sunday, but this entire building was filled. We brought in chairs that day, but Joanne said, you know, if the Lord doesn't go with us, as Moses said when he was taking the children of Israel, if the Lord doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. And so the Lord certainly was with us all the way to where we are today. The Lord was with Joseph. In verse 13 for tonight, Genesis 39, when she, speaking of Potiphar's wife, saw that he, Joseph, had left his cloak, that's the outer garment, in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but notice she said, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. Now I want you to notice what Potiphar's wife said about Joseph the innocent. Joseph, the one who would be perpetrated with a great, incredible false accusation, the injustice that came upon his life. She said, that Hebrew slave, you brought us. Now, tonight, several of you have commented about your spouse and how much your spouse means to you and how they've been a blessing in your life. Potiphar's wife obviously didn't have much respect for Potiphar. She said, that Hebrew slave, you brought us. She didn't even say, Potiphar, that guy you brought down here to us. But she just begins to mouth off, if you will. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me. Notice she says, to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. Notice verse 19, very interesting verse. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave, notice once again, she throws it back into Potiphar's hands, your slave treated me. And the phrase, he burned with anger. That's speaking about Potiphar burned with anger. That doesn't say Potiphar burned with anger about Joseph. It just says he burned with anger. Potiphar burned with anger. No doubt Potiphar had questionable doubt about what his wife was accusing Joseph of. I mean, Joseph has been exemplary in his character, in his integrity, in his behavior. Potiphar had seen that the Lord was with Joseph all along from the moment he came down into Egypt, and Potiphar put him in charge of his entire household. Potiphar watched him. Potiphar looked at him. Potiphar noticed his integrity, his behavior, his character. Would a man such as Potiphar, who was in charge of a great position of service there to the Pharaoh, would he allow such a one as Joseph to come in and take control of his entire household and do everything and be with his wife and servants? if he did not have total trust and faith in Joseph. I tend to agree with some of the Bible commentaries that I've studied on this passage about Joseph. Was she somebody Potiphar trusted? Did Potiphar have reason to doubt his wife? Because I want you to think about what's going to happen in the rest of these verses in chapter 39. If you had been living in that day and you had been down in Egypt at that particular period of time, you know what it would mean to be accused of this adulterous thing that she's going to accuse Joseph of. I mean, it would have been torture. It could have been stoning and death. So in this particular passage, this is how your slave treated me. Notice Potiphar burned with anger. No doubt, I wonder if he had reason from other times in his household about his wife. The next verse tells us in verse 20, Joseph's master, that's Potiphar, took him and put him in prison. Now remember, one of the things that you would have done during that day for such an accusation to be leveled against someone here, such as Joseph, would have been complete torture, death, stoning. And notice what Potiphar did. This causes me to make inference, me along with other Bible commentary, to wonder if Joseph's master Potiphar, if Potiphar really believed what his wife was telling, then why did he take him into the prison, even though that was not a comfortable place to be in? But why not the torturous things that would come to one who would have violated Potiphar's wife? And so, the way Potiphar deals with Joseph, he took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Those that had done evil or had done rebellious things against the king, the Pharaoh of the land. This is where they're confined. You will see in the next verse here in a minute that the king's baker and the king's butler were housed here as well. Obviously, they had done something that went against the Pharaoh's likings, and they are now in this particular prison as well. But while Joseph was there in the prison, notice while he's there in the prison, the Lord was with Joseph. Let me tell you, the awesomeness of the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you grateful tonight that there's nowhere that you can go that God is not already there when you get there? The psalmist said, if I make my bed in Sheol, you're there, the grave. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there. Aren't you grateful for the awesome presence of the living God? The Lord was with Joseph. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. See, this morning, as we're looking at a twofold sermon today and next Sunday on if God is sovereign, or since God is sovereign, the word if can be translated since, because God is sovereign, wherein lies my responsibility to pray? You see, right there in that verse 21 in the book of Genesis 39, the sovereignty of God is written all over these verses here. God's at work. God's behind the scenes. As the song says, somewhere standing in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Let me tell you, when you feel the most alone, as Steve mentioned a few moments ago, when you feel the most vulnerable, when you're at your greatest peak of feeling like you're going to fall apart and the stressors of life have caved in on you. Steve said, I reach out and say, God, if you don't, I won't, I can't. In and of my own power and in and of my own strength. Here Joseph is. All of his life he's dealt with injustices that have come against him. But in the midst of it all, where was the Lord when Joseph's brothers took his coat of many colors and dipped it in animal blood and sent it back to old father Jacob and told him that his favored son is dead? God was with Joseph. Where was God when Joseph was put down into the pit? God was with him in the pit. As the psalmist said, if I make my bed in Sheol, that's the word Sheol is the Old Testament Hebrew word for the place or the realm of the dead. You're there. Where was God when Joseph would be sold to Ishmaelite group that was coming down the road in a caravan? Where was God with Joseph? He was there. Where was God when Joseph entered Egypt? The Lord was with him. And here in verse 21, we see that the Lord was with him and he showed Joseph kindness and granted Joseph favor in the eyes of the warden there, the prison warden. And then look at our next verse there. As we see, so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and Joseph was made responsible for all that was done there. Notice the next verse. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. Why? The next phrase tells us because the Lord was with Joseph and gave Joseph success in whatever he did. And whatever he did, the Lord gave Joseph success. There are three or four things here I want to close with tonight. Number one, the practice of Joseph's injustice. It's common. It's a commonplace. Let me tell you, there were lots of people. Joseph's experience of injustice in Potiphar's house, it's not the first time he suffered, as you will see that. But let me tell you, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul writing to Timothy, shared yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice Paul said, and all. He didn't say some. He said, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want to share with you from Butler's commentary. He said, Scripture gives many illustrations of injustice, which underscores the commonness of it. Abel was slain by Cain. Laban, that was Jacob's father-in-law. Laban dealt dishonestly with Jacob. The Egyptians mistreated the Israelites. Saul was treacherous with David. Naboth was slandered by Jezebel. The prophets, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, and others, were accused by people and governments of lying and of having evil motives. John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod. Stephen was stoned by the religious mob, and Paul was persecuted in city after city, but no one experienced injustice more than our Savior. He was born in a barn. He was exiled in Egypt, hated in his hometown, rejected by his relatives, declared to be demon-possessed, condemned in the courts, and crucified as a criminal. Talk about a story of injustice. The Savior understands injustice. Let me tell you, this injustice that came to Joseph, he lost his reputation here, of course, in the midst of this scandal, but he still held on to his integrity and his behavior. You see, there are lots of accusations out there in the world today, lots of false accusations. We read all kinds of things. I hear people talk about Facebook all the time. Things that are on Facebook, the accusations that people made. Sometimes I don't know why people want to read all that. Well, he lost his reputation. He lost his job, no longer over Potiphar's household. He lost his comforts. Now he's in prison. And then to mention the perpetrator, which was Joseph's injustice, Potiphar's wife, to create such a scandal because she's made the advancement. Joseph held on to his character and his integrity. He would not sin not only against Potiphar, but he wouldn't sin against the Lord God. And then the perceiving that Joseph's injustice, I believe Potiphar perceived in what the wife accused Joseph of, that Potiphar had to do something because of the accusation. And so he confines him to the prison, but the Lord is with Joseph all the way, and the warden makes him over the prisoners there of the king's servants that are confined there. There are three perspectives that I want to give you tonight. The consolation of God's presence. The consolation of God's presence. When you pray, do you pray, Lord, if it's not your will, then I don't want what I'm praying? Let me tell you, sometimes the things you and I pray for, it's best that we don't sometimes get our prayers answered, isn't it? It creates incredible trust on our part. The commitment of the prison duties. Potiphar put Joseph totally in charge. Now, I believe if Potiphar had been totally upset at Joseph over this deal, I surely doubt that he would have given him such favor in the prison that he consigned him to. But the Lord was with him. And thirdly, the perspective of Joseph's injustice we'll see in our next study on this, the baker and the butler of the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Why are they in the prison? We don't know. We're not told. But if you will remember, and as we look at this next week, they had specific duties in the Pharaoh's household, and something they had done had disqualified them and had caused the Pharaoh of Egypt to consign them no longer to the positions they held, but they themselves were cast into the prison, where once again the sovereignty of God is at play. God will use Joseph in the baker and the butler's life to interpret dreams that they've had. And then 2 years down the road, when Joseph is released out of the prison, then he will interpret the Pharaoh's dreams and will become the second in command over the entire nation of Egypt when the famine would come in the land of Judah, and Joseph's brothers will have to come to Egypt to buy grain, where they meet up with their brother that they have not seen in some 20 to 22 years. God at work behind the scenes. Life being a chessboard, and God is moving the pawns on the chessboard wherever He chooses to move them, for at whatever reason and purpose He chooses to place them in strategic places, from a pit to a prison to the palace. God was at work in the situation of Joseph's injustices, but God had never left him. God had never forsaken him. God was his present help in time of trouble. And God will be mine and your present help in times of trouble. Amen? Amen. Would you stand as we pray together tonight? We pretty much look like just home folks here. We're not going to have an invitation song, But God bless you for being here tonight. Hope you'll be back on Wednesday night once again as we look at the life of Daniel. Would you bow with us as we pray tonight?